The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week we bring you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And golly, it feels like every week we're like updating something about some strategy right now, because the world is changing fast. I had a partner who wanted to buy me out of a rental property that we owned together, which was planned, and nothing went wrong. And she was searching loans the other day, and she found an investor loan at 5.99% interest, which is a number we have not heard for a very long time. Now there was a buy down in there. She had to pay 3 points to get that, but still sub 6% interest rates. That could get exciting real fast. You want to stimulate the housing market, drop interest rates to a point where people can actually afford to move out of their houses and give up their 3.25% interest rates. So what we are updating this week is what in the heck is going on in the apartment market. Listen, I'm on Facebook. I hear people talking. I read the industry news, and I've heard about the big deal failures of some of the big syndicators and the big apartment projects, and some of the influencers out there who have been using social media to raise money for apartment buildings, and you know they're getting sued or not making payments that they were supposed to make and whatnot. And unfortunately, if that is all you're hearing about the apartment market, you might be going, oh man, I'm staying away from that. That may or may not be the right thing to do. That's what we're going to talk about today. And by we, of course, I don't mean me, because apartments are not really my field, but they are the field of Anthony Chara, who many of you know both from the fact that he has been a real life real estate investing guest multiple times before, usually me saying, Andy or Anthony, please tell us what's going on in the apartment market. But also because he is one of the best known educators in that field, as well as an extremely experienced and successful apartment investor in his own right. He is joining us from his home in Colorado. Anthony, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Bonjour, Vina.
Bonjour, Anthony. You're going to have to learn to say that in Hungarian.
Oh, yes, in German.
Yes, that's right. Oh, that 3 weeks when I was gone and people were guest hosting back in July, I guess it was. June and July was because I was on a river cruise with a bunch of other real estate investors, and Anthony was one of them. And I spent the entire week not talking to him about apartments, because I promised him that this was going to be like an actual vacation and people wouldn't be hitting him up looking for apartment advice. So this is now, I had to wait a month, but now I can ask the questions that I have about the apartment business. So, I'm sure you're seeing all this too. I'm sure you are getting emails about it every day from people going, oh, Anthony, what's happening? Is it bad?
Oh, yeah.
What should we do? So let's just start with some perspective about what is going on out in the world that is causing what seems like a flurry of these fairly public failures in apartments.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting when it makes the Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
somebody loses 3,200 units. So just for the record, I have not lost a property since about 2010, 2011. So that's way back when we started up. So I'm not part of the current flurry. And as far as I know, my students are not the GPs on any of the deals. They might be in some of the deals that are going sideways because they got into them with other people. But anyway, so what are we hearing? What's going on? That's a great question. So I think most of the people, well, I shouldn't say I think, I know that most of the people that are in trouble were still using the strategy that they were using back in 2019, 2020, 2021, where they were seeing the pattern of GPs, general partners, and operators going out and literally overpaying for properties based on how they were operating that day or that year because of the income expenses that they were currently incurring, and saw that rental rates were going up through the roof, and some of these properties were depressed in the sense of they weren't getting the maximum rent for the units. A lot of times because the units need to be updated, or sometimes it was bad management, sometimes it was bad ownership, but most of the time it was because they needed to go in and do these upgrades, which would allow them to raise the rent, which would then allow the net operating income to go up, which would then take the valuation up through the roof.
Well, isn't that exactly what you're supposed to do?
Well, yeah, most of the time. But what they didn't see is they didn't see the writing on the wall and all the money that the government was printing because of COVID. And as one of my, and even I have mentors, one of my mentors said that basically the hidden tax on people is inflation. And it's literally the government devaluing the money, because the inflation basically eats up the buying power of the dollar, and it's a way for them to basically tax the American public and people around the world because of inflation going through the roof because they couldn't get a handle on it. So what a lot of these people were doing is they were underwriting their deals as if their current loan, which they were going out and getting something called a bridge loan, which bridges the gap between the original purchase and the takeout financing. They usually go 1 to 3 years. And the plan, again, is you buy the property, you put a bunch of money into it, you raise the rents, the valuation goes up, and in 2 to 3 years, you refinance out into long-term financing. And at the same time, when you do a cash-out refinance, you generally pull out most, if not all, the money to give it all back to your investors. And then everybody's happy, and they go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That worked great for about 10 years, from about 2011 to 2021-ish. And then with COVID hitting and all the money that the U.S. government was printing, most of the people that I was hanging around with were saying inflation is going to just jump through the roof. Inflation is going to jump through the roof. Inflation is going to jump through the roof. But some operators, they assumed that their bridge loan, which was interest only and adjustable, was going to stay flat for the 2 to 3 years that they had the property. And their takeout financing was also going to stay flat for 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were underwriting the bridge loan at 6% and the takeout financing around 4%. If the interest rate stayed the same, they would have been fine. But what happened was, about a year into some of these deals, their bridge loan went through the roof. It went from 6% to like 9 or 10%. Some of them went up as high as 13%. The takeout loans, the long-term financing, which was hovering around 4-ish, give or take a half a point or a quarter of a point, all of a sudden jumped to 7 to 8%.
Mm.
And so now, in order to refinance out of it, they were going to have to put more money into it in order to buy down the loan LTV, right? Because they have the bank will only loan 75% based on the current value. Well, when the interest rates go up and the property can't cash flow, the only way that you can get the property valuation down so that they'll give you a loan is by putting more equity in, ergo borrowing less money, loan payments are less, now the property qualifies. Well, two things happened. Number one, all the extra money that some of these people raised to do all these rehabs, once their interest rate on their bridge loan went through the roof, that cash vanished because they were paying the bridge lender to keep the loan current.
Mm.
So now they can't even do the upgrades to get the property valuation up in order to refinance out of it at all. And so that's where you started hearing some of these stories. This started about a year ago. maybe a little bit over a year ago. There was a big story, as we talked about in the Wall Street Journal, some guy lost 3,200 units and about $60 million of property down in the Houston area. There's been another guy that lost 25 buildings in the Bronx. There's been thousands and thousands of units that had been foreclosed on and taken back by the lenders. And I know we're going to get there in a second, but just so people aren't freaking out and turning off their radio when they hear this, right? Every cloud has a silver lining. So you just have to adjust to the market. And I'm assuming we'll get there in just a little bit. So hang on and we'll give you some more exciting, upbeat news.
Yes.
Yeah, so, the sky is falling.
So these folks failed to adjust to the market, even though everybody could see this inflation thing coming. And just kept doing what they had been doing. And what they had been doing, what you said, very first of all, was that they were intentionally overpaying for the properties. They knew that based on the condition and the rents, that this was too much money. But they also, quote, knew that they could go in, do the repairs, raise the rents, cash out, all that sort of stuff. And that second part just became impossible because of the market conditions.
Yeah, well, it worked the 10 years before that. So real estate only goes up in value, Vina.
Oh, yeah. All the time, every year. Yeah, I remember 2009. Don't lie to me. So we're going to take a quick break. I want to invite listeners to call today with all of your apartment investing questions, because Anthony is going to be much more like good and up to date at answering any of those questions that you might have than I would be during question and answer week or something. Our number here in the studio is 877-772-9658. You can also just send it via email. Just send it to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing, talking today about the apartment market as it sits right now, and then we'll maybe get into some, you know, what's going to happen over the next year or two, to the extent to which Anthony has a crystal ball, like anyone has a crystal ball. And to recap, what you've heard so far is that buying properties that are not well managed or not in great shape and fixing them up so that you can raise the rents, so that you raise the value, and then refinancing out of that to get your cash back. Or even, I mean, some people flip apartments, Anthony. I've seen, we've got some members who they don't refinance. They just straight up sell the property at the end of that process. That is a perfectly good strategy. That is a strategy that has worked for a lot of people for a lot of years. The place where it has fallen apart for a lot of people is in that part at the beginning where they overpaid on purpose. They bought it saying, well, the market has been going up and it will continue to go up, and interest rates have gone down for many years in a row, and so they will either continue to go down or they will stay the same. And that's where things have fallen apart in the apartment market. But Anthony, like somebody I know well likes to say, some people's good deals come from other people's bad deals. That when you find a market where a lot of owners are failing in their whole strategy, and the properties are going into foreclosure, there are being sold in short sales, defaulted mortgages are being sold, that creates opportunity for the next guy to come in and do it right. Is that kind of what you think might be happening in the apartment world?
That's exactly what's happening. As a matter of fact, there's some very large companies out there that have already gone in and swooped up some of these larger deals, these 200, 300, 400 unit complexes, because they were prepared. They saw what was going to happen. They had all the money. These are companies that are used to raising tens of millions of dollars every year, and they were able to swoop in. And as soon as these properties were foreclosed and went to auction, boom, they bought them for pennies on the dollar. And it's not even just apartments. This started about 3 years earlier because of COVID in the office markets too. So mm-hmm. These same companies were prepared to go in and buy up some office buildings at 20, 30 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. So there's some incredible opportunity. Just like I tell people, every cloud has a silver lining. So here's the silver lining. Don't freak out because of all the bad news. Figure out how you can take advantage of the bad news, because it's not your fault that these people lost their properties, but how can you potentially get a deal for you and or your investors if you have investors? Some people do it all on their own, but some people like me, I go out and I raise millions of dollars from people in order to take down larger properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the folks I know here in our groups that you have taught, they do the same thing. People come there and go, how did you buy a 100-unit building? Do you have millions of dollars? And the answer is, nope. I learned how to
put in 50, I put in 50 grand. Like, what, you bought a building for 50 grand? No, I raised $1.5 million from other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's always... I mean, it's just like any other kind of asset. It's always a good time to buy apartments if you're doing the right analysis and you're not depending on the market to carry the value up, and you're not depending on the fact that, you know, that people are going to be able to pay higher rents next year than they did this year. If you're really looking at it for what it is right now. And then, you know, what am I going to make it in the future? But also, it's what am I going to make it in the future, not what is the market going to make it in the future, because we can't predict that. But I don't know, chaotic times are typically pretty good for people who are buying. They're not so great for people who are selling.
Yeah, and if you're banking on the market, that's more speculation than investing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you're speculating that the market's going to continue to go up as far as rental rates are concerned. And there's a lot of places, a lot of cities that rents are softening because people are pushing back. They can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people can't afford it, they don't move in. Vacancies start going up. What do landlords do? They have to lower the rental rate in order to get people to fill up their units. Otherwise, they go broke and they lose the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what scares a lot of people who could actually do very well in the apartment business is they look at these articles in the Wall Street Journal and they say, if a company that's got 10 years of experience and 3,200 units can't make it work, how in the world can little old me who's trying to buy their first 10 family or 30 family or whatever, how, like... They must have all the magic, and there's no way I would get the magic. So how? What hope is there for me?
Yeah. Yeah. It really comes down to just getting. I think there are two things that happen. First off, my understanding, the person did have the education that he needed to have to do what he did. Because obviously, you don't buy $60 million of property just by sheer luck. Mm-hmm. So he did have the ability to go out and do it. He had some successful projects. Quite frankly, I think part of the problem was the ego and thinking that the market is just going to keep going up and we're just going to rinse and repeat and do it again and again and again. And most of the big gurus that I know that I hang out with, they were looking at that inflation thing and saying the government's printing all this money. There's only one thing that can happen, and that's inflation has to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So he just didn't account for that. And then there's also some other people. I think part of the speculation in the Wall Street Journal is that this guy might have then also maybe defrauded people too, because he didn't do a lot of the work that he was even supposed to do when he had the money. And then he just vanished. He hopped on a plane and left the country.
Yep.
And that's just, again, that's just one horror story that people should not judge any investments by one horror story, because even in the good stuff, even the stuff that's going great, there are people out there that are scammers that rip people off. And so you have to talk to the people who are in the know, people like you said, if they're in Cincinnati RIA, and go around and talk to the people that have done it before. They're usually down-to-earth people who realize what they're capable of doing, and they don't overdo it. And then even if people are listening, which they probably are all around the country, go to your local real estate group and talk to the people that have actually been there and done that. Most people aren't going out and buying 3,200 units. Most people in the real estate groups are going out and buying 12 units, 20 units, maybe 100, maybe up to 200 units. find out what they're doing and how they're doing it and how they're making it work in today's market.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that makes me most comfortable is if I'm in charge of the deal. If I'm the one doing the analysis, if I'm the one figuring out what we can borrow, if I'm the one raising the money to make up the difference between what it costs and what we can borrow, like, to me, the direct knowledge of how to look at the numbers and be able to say, oh yeah, this is a winner, or you got to be kidding, it is power, right?
Absolutely.
And I would be doing that whether I was the one who found the property or whether I was the one being asked to invest money in the property.
Yeah. Even as an investor, you still need to do your own due diligence and research. And, you know, one of the things we're running into today is that there's still a lot of owners that are still living in 2022 and they still think their properties are priced right. And we've had to explain to a few of them that the market has changed. Interest rates are no longer 4%. Fortunately, they have dropped, just like you pointed out earlier. The apartment loans had jumped up to about 8% for long-term financing. They've slowly been coming down, and now every week I get an updated email from one of my lenders, and you can get long-term financing on an apartment project between 5.75 and 6.75% interest. So it has come down, but it's still not 4%. And so that 2 percentage points is thousands and thousands of extra dollars in interest. And we have to explain that to sellers to say, this isn't 2022. The market has changed. Your property was worth that back then. It's not worth that today. Some of them understand it. They might lower the price a little bit. And some of them just say, well, we don't care. And this is the price. You can either buy it or not buy it.
And the answer is not buy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it takes a little while for owners to, for the market to tell owners, for enough Anthony Charas to say to them, yeah, 1.3 million is not going to work anymore. It's going to have to be 1 million for them to start actively lowering prices. We saw the same thing in the residential market in 2007 and 8, right? Like people holding out. No, my house is worth $175,000 because that's what my neighbor sold for last year.
Yep.
When there was easy money and lots of buyers in the market. And it took them a little while. And then eventually they started being way more motivated. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer your questions. You can call them into I don't know why I put the one in there. Nobody puts the one in there anymore. 877-772-9658 or send them to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. Just a quick announcement for all of our listeners. My very favorite meeting of the year every year is coming up tomorrow night at Cincinnati RIA, and it is online. Why is it my favorite? Well, it's our How I Would Make $1 Million in 2 years in Real Estate If I Had to Start from Scratch panel. And it's five super experienced, very long-term investors who are going to answer questions about if they were stripped of everything, money, credit, properties, people, private lenders, like they have nothing left except for their knowledge. And they needed to make $2 million in cash and or equity in the next 24 months. Exactly what would they do? How would they find deals? Who would they go find to hang out with? How would they get their resources? What strategies would they use? It's my favorite meeting because every year the answers are different, both because we have different guests and because the market's different, right? But what people were saying 5 years ago about, well, here's how I'd start. They're maybe not going to say that this year because the market is different than it was 5 years ago. The guest panel includes John Burley, Tony Youngs, Jerry Fink, Ed Benz. It's a super experienced panel of folks, and you can get your link to join in on this Zoom meeting at CincinnatiRIA.com. That's CincinnatiREIA.com. It's tomorrow evening. So, Anthony, we have a question in the inbox from Steve, who is apparently from the Tampa area. And Steve says, I'm hearing about a lot of markets here in the Sun Belt where rents are actually going down, apparently because they are building too many new apartments. Do you have any opinions about where the best locations would be to be looking right now if I wanted to start buying apartment buildings?
Oh, yeah, I do. So Florida is one of those markets that seems to undulate both positively and negatively as people move in and move out of the market. So if they're overbuilding in the market, especially the Tampa market, which they are because it was a really hot market a couple years ago, it takes developers a little while to catch up to the market. And then at some point, if they start overbuilding, then you're right. Then rents are going to have to come down because it's better to lower the rent a little bit or a lot than have the units completely vacant. So some of the areas that people are moving to are still down south. Now, Florida is one of those areas where people are moving north. So a lot of the people that are leaving Florida are heading up to the Carolinas, both North and South Carolina. They're also heading up to Georgia and Tennessee. So some of those major markets and major cities in those states are areas that I would be looking at. There's also a lot of people that are moving to the west of Florida, over to Alabama, the Huntsville area. I believe that that's where the Revitalized Space Program is going to be headquarters in Huntsville. So there's a lot of good stuff going on around there in Decatur, which is, I think, north of Huntsville, if I remember correctly. And then even parts of Mississippi down around, you may not want to go all the way down to Biloxi right on the coast because some of the insurance issues and the hurricane issues, but there's some other markets over there that are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So along with Tampa, even Dallas in a lot of cases is getting overbuilt. So a lot of people are moving out of the Dallas area. They're either moving over to Fort Worth or up further north out of the actual city of Dallas.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like when you are thinking, Anthony, about like what areas do I want to take a closer look at, you're looking for areas that people are moving to.
Yes. So there's I want to see, usually it's by job creation. So usually what I do is I go on to places like census.gov. There's another one called city-data.com. And you can even go to bestplaces.net and look at some of the major cities around your market to see if the population is expanding. And usually it's expanding because more jobs are being created. So as those jobs are being created, they need more people to fill the jobs. People move into the area to fill the jobs, the population goes up, as opposed to some areas where people are leaving because the jobs are going bye-bye. So what I do is I like to look at the business news to find out where major companies are moving. Are they relocating? Are they opening up new offices? I mean, everybody remembers the big buzz about 8 years ago when Amazon was trying to come up with two new headquarters. And everybody was speculating where they were going to be, and all these big cities were courting Amazon. Well, finally, Amazon decided they were going to put their office in one office in New York and one office just outside of Washington, D.C. And all of a sudden, the real estate market went crazy, and buildings started to boom. And then, of course, we know that there's a famous politician in New York that basically told them they didn't want Amazon, so Amazon then just doubled the size of its Washington, D.C. location, and then the real estate went even more bonkers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the other thing you can do, too, to check population is go to the U-Haul website and some of these other websites like Ryder, the companies that rent the trailers and the trucks that people use to move themselves, or even some of the bigger moving companies, and find out. They actually, like U-Haul, I know U-Haul has on the website, they actually have on there where they're seeing people move, where mm-hmm. they're leaving, what states are they leaving, and what states are they moving into.
Interesting. You know what a really great growing job market is Columbus, Ohio. Intel is building a chip processing plant there, and so now what we've got is a bunch of people who are construction workers, and then when that's done, they're going to employ like a zillion people, and Columbus is like the fastest growing city in the Midwest right now.
There you go.
Growing faster than any other, like even growing faster. Well, Chicago's losing people, so growing faster than any other city in the Midwest at the moment. So I have a follow-up question to that. So you talked about locations. In terms of where you're seeing there being deals, like people actually willing to sell at a price that's adequate to make you the kind of cash flow and return that you're looking for, is there a particular size of property or conditions we should be looking for, or property class in terms of, is it an A neighborhood, a B neighborhood, a C neighborhood?
Well, so most of the flexibility is generally going to come from the smaller buildings with mom and pop owners. There's a lot of them out there. And I think some of them also, if you're newer to apartment investing, might also have a soft spot to say, hey, you know what? We remember when we bought our first apartment. This is your first apartment. Yeah, we'll help you out. Maybe they'll do seller financing or partial seller financing to help you. Some of the bigger projects, if you're talking about 100, 200 units in major cities, there's going to be a lot of competition for that. And a lot of those same complexes are owned by what are called syndications. This is kind of what I do. I go out and I get anywhere from 20 to 30 investors together, and everybody puts in $50,000, $200,000 each, and we go out and we take down these larger complexes. Well, those owners that are selling their properties are usually going to be a lot less willing to negotiate, a lot less willing to do some type of seller carry back because they've got investors that they need to answer to. And a lot of the investors just want to get their money and go on their own way. So I would look for to get, I guess, some of the best deals or the motivated deals is not look in the heart of major cities, but start looking on the periphery around the cities. And look for something, if you're just starting out, a little bit smaller, maybe a 10 to 12 to 20 unit property. Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to be your bread and butter at this point, with hopefully sellers wanting to help you out as well. So,
Got a question from Teal in Columbus. She says, what are Anthony's thoughts on how an investor would break into investing in small apartments like 6 to 10 units? They seem to be hard to find.
Oh, that's an excellent question. It really depends on your market. So there are some markets out there that don't have a lot of units like that. But, to use the term breaking in, if you already have a couple of rental properties, single-family home rentals, it's not a big jump to go from two or three single-family homes to one sixplex or even a tenplex. The biggest thing that I would recommend is that you start creating a relationship with one or two or three real estate agents in the area that specialize in those smaller properties, because they are out there. Even in Columbus, I'd be willing to bet there's hundreds of sixplexes and tenplexes, because Columbus, if you look at the square mileage of Columbus, it's got to be close to 100, if not over 100 square miles,
yep.
Right? So they're out there. But if you can't find them, and I'll tell you right now, this is one thing that I'll talk to investors about. They'll say, well, I can't find any deals. I ask them, where are you looking? And 95% of the time, they'll say, well, I looked on this website and this website and that website and this other website and this other website and that website. To which I respond again and again and again, this is a relationship business. It's one thing to look on websites about the only reason I look on websites anymore today is to find the people who have the most listings. Hmm. But then I reach out to the people and I create a relationship with that person. That's where the deals are coming from. So if the person asking the question is just looking on different websites, you may not find anything. As a matter of fact, one of my brokers about a year and a half ago, I had him on a luncheon that I do, a webinar luncheon, to educate people, and he kind of surprised me. He was talking about whatever he was talking about, but one of the comments he made was something about off-market deals. And so when he got done with his comment, I asked him, I said, you made this comment about off-market deals, meaning they never get on a website. In your opinion, how many deals today, and this is when, right about the time interest rates went through the roof, how many deals today are being done, as you say, off-market and never hitting LoopNet, never hitting any of the major brokerage websites? And he said over half. So again, I stress, it's a relationship business. You need to talk to and find the people in the Columbus market that specialize in the smaller multifamily properties. And if you go in and create that relationship with them, you'll probably have them bringing you deal after deal after deal.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Gosh, it feels like we've covered areas, property sizes. Do you think the good deals right now are in A, B, or C areas?
Well, right now it's the biggest ones that are probably going to be struggling here, if they're not already, the A-class properties, because with inflation and everything going through the roof and people not being able to afford some of the rents, you're going to get a lot of the people from the A-class properties moving down into B-class properties. People that are struggling in B-class properties are going to be moving down into C-class properties. So one of the things that we try and target are the B-class properties. These are the ones that are not necessarily the cream of the crop, but they're also not just big old boxes that have no personality and no character whatsoever. Because as we just talked about, as the economy struggles, you have people moving down in classification. Well, when the economy improves, they move up. So C-class residents move to B, B move to A. Well, B is always in the middle.
Ah.
So B tends to not be as dramatic changes as you would have in especially the A-class properties. C-class properties, there's always going to be clientele for C. The question is whether or not you want to put up with them, because sometimes in C-class properties, people struggle because they just don't have the income. They're scraping the barrel to make their rent payment on time, and a lot of times they don't even do that. They're struggling to pay their credit card bills, their car payments, put food on the table. And if they're making a decision between, do I buy groceries this week for my family or do I pay the rent, generally they're buying groceries.
All right. We've got one more segment in the show where we can answer questions at 877. I'm not going to give out the phone number. We won't have time to answer questions by phone. At vinaradio@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Anthony Chara about what's going on in the real estate market, specifically in the asset class of apartments. I should not fail to mention that Anthony is doing an all-day workshop at the National Real Estate Summit coming up late October, early November. He's going to be doing a full day on apartment investing right now, like in 2024, not 5 years ago, where he's going to teach you a bunch of the skills that you need to go out and actually make intelligent investments in apartments. And I'll let him talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But we still have a few of those packages left for listeners where you can get a ticket for all 4 days of the summit, including Anthony's all-day class, for $197, and you get the special bonus because you are pledging to WMKV. The money's going to WMKV. You get the special bonus of we're going to upgrade your tickets to VIP, which would normally be another $120, and we're also going to give you a free home study course on how to negotiate with sellers. So it's really, I mean, the whole thing's really worth like $500, but you're pledging $197. You're supporting public radio. OREA does not donate all of its seats to WMKV because OREA needs the money too. So there's only a limited number of these packages, which you can get by going to WMKVFM.org. That's a lot of letters. WMKVFM.org. Just scroll down to the bottom of the whole homepage. You'll see the big thing that says National Real Estate Summit. Click that, make your pledge, and we will see you there. Anthony, a question from Edward. We're going to do Edward first. He says, the thing that I am most concerned about in diving into the apartment world is how do you get good management? Which, I mean, that's good because Edward at least knows that you want management. You don't want to, like, try and be managing a 100-unit building all by yourself.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, yeah, for me, I don't even want to be managing a one unit by myself or a six unit or a 10 unit. I want a management company. So, Edward, you're already ahead of the game. You get the gold star because management can make you or break you very, very quickly. So one of the things that I would recommend is that you find the management company first before you start going out and looking at properties in a particular market that you're interested in investing in. Because if you can't find a decent manager, then you probably want to avoid that market.
Mm.
There are probably a good 40 to 50 questions, 60 questions that you should be asking your managers to make sure that they know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. But even having said that, we've had some managers that answered every one of the questions exactly the way we wanted to hear them answer them. And then we gave them the keys to the castle and they fell flat on their face and they didn't do anything they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let that scare you away, though, because we've had that happen. And what we do is we just have a parting of the ways. We ask them to go someplace else and we hire somebody new. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we have a property, the same property management company that we start with, 5-10 years later, when we sell the property, we still have the same management company. But we've had a couple of instances where we've had to go through managers and change them one or two times because they just didn't do what they said they were going to do. So if you do come to OREA on October 31st through November 3rd and you heard this announcement, this, what I'm going to tell you is, normally I only give this information out to people that come to my 4-day boot camp, but if you come up to me during that 4-day weekend and tell me that you heard me on the radio and that I said I would give you my list of questions that I ask of the property management companies to vet them, I will give that to you for free. Just come up and remind me over the course of the 4 days, and I'll make sure you get a copy of those questions.
I literally just wrote down on my phone to remember to ask you for your list of questions. I want that list of questions.
In addition to that, as far as finding management companies, one of the best things you can do, of course, is get referrals. Find other people that already have managers in the market and ask them what they think of their manager and make sure they're comparable in the sense that somebody that manages a 6-unit property is not going to be managing a 100-unit property. So there are companies out there that specialize in smaller properties and different classifications of properties, and there's other companies that specialize in larger properties and A-class properties. So just make sure you find that out, and because the best referrals you're going to get or the best information you get on a manager are the referrals from other people who have been using them for several years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, a couple websites you can go to, narpm.org. N is a Nancy. It's the National Association of Rental Property Managers.org. That's one place you can go. Most of the managers on that website will generally manage smaller properties. And then the larger management companies usually go to either irem.org or ccim.com.
Okay, good advice. irem.org, ccim.com, or narpm.org. Okay, so you said early on that it was a relationship business. I mean, you said that. And now you have said we need relationships with brokers, with property managers. Probably it would be good to build relationships with other people who are also interested in apartments because, like, it's a team sport. And, you know, maybe I have the deal and you have the money, or maybe you have the deal and I know the people with the money, so we can work together because you found a good deal that I didn't find. Anything else? Like if I'm going, okay, yeah, I like the chaos. I'm going to jump in because I know that there's going to be good deals to be had. Is there anything else that I really, really, really need to know before I go pull the trigger on something?
So as far as the relationships, yeah, you should have a good lender, a good mortgage broker. So create a relationship with a mortgage broker, and you should also have a couple of attorneys. One attorney is going to be your landlord-tenant attorney in the state where the property is located. If you're going to be raising money from other people, you need to have a good SEC attorney, Securities and Exchange Commission attorney. And they don't have to be in that state. They can be in any state to do the SEC documents. And then you want to have a good real estate attorney in the state where the property is located.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, sorry, ask the question again because sometimes I...
Well, no, I think you answered it. I think analysis, analysis is number one, right? Because you don't even know if you've got a good deal unless you can analyze it. Build those relationships. You know, I think a great place to do that for these folks is going to be at the National Summit. We actually have a lender who is himself an apartment investor who also does apartment loans, who's going to be buying people lunch during your presentation so that he can explain what the loan programs look like right now. Can you give us just like 60 seconds on what all people are going to learn during that day?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to learn a ton. We're going to start with the basics, the terminology, and how valuating apartments and other commercial property is different than single-family homes. You know, single-family homes are basically valued based on comparables. Most people value commercial property based on the income that they generate. It's called the income approach. And so that's what we're going to be doing all day, is going over the terminology and then looking at the actual formulas and calculating the different returns on different deals. And in the afternoon, for everybody that signs up, and I'm going to give Vina the deadline date, but as long as people sign up before a certain deadline date, everybody that shows up for the workshop is going to get a workbook. They're also going to get some evaluation software. And in the afternoon, we're going to go through the evaluation software. So it's all going to come together in the afternoon. So the morning is all the terminology and what all the definitions mean and why they're important to know. And then the afternoon is actually putting it together and analyzing real deals. So as a matter of fact, I would like everybody that comes to bring their live deals, 5 units mm-hmm. and up, for apartments, mobile home parks, storage facilities, office buildings, whatever you want to do. And we can go through those, some of those, on Thursday afternoon. And mm-hmm. then I'm there all weekend. So if we want to sit together sometime afterwards and go through deals, if we don't have time on Thursday, I'm there until Sunday afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. We're out of time. Folks who want to make sure that they get to go through Anthony's workshop, WMKVFM.org. Scroll down to the pledge form for the National Real Estate Summit while they are still available, and only $197. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.